Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, January the 4th, 2013. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, hello everyone and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2013. Wow, it's hard to believe 2012 came and went, and we're in a brand new year. This is the first podcast of the new year, and I hope that you all have had certainly a wonderful holiday season. So hard to believe it's already come and gone, and we're off to a new start. And of course, we've all made those resolutions that we hope to be able to keep in this new year, and we'll talk about that in a little while. Anyway, there are things going on, new year, new season, new events, time to plan that calendar. And it looks like an exciting year, actually. Some new events that are coming up, as well as some new databases have been launched, and just so many things that are underway. So let's talk about those. Some news coming out of Tennessee from Wessington Plantation. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. If you're familiar with the book, with the best-selling book, by the way, The Washingtons of Wessington by John Baker, there's a lot of activity that's going on, and there is going to be a special exhibit that's going to be unfolding. The Tennessee State Museum in Nashville, Tennessee, is planning an exhibit featuring Wessington Plantation from its early days in the 1790s through the Civil War. And this exhibition is going to go on for at least a year, actually about a year and a half. It's going to open this February and it is going to run through August of 2014. All of this is really part of an effort commemorating the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. This being 2013, I want to remind you, of course, we're right in the middle of this five-year commemoration honoring the Civil War and the people who certainly gave, in many cases, the ultimate, or gave their lives. They paid the ultimate price for fighting for freedom and so many things. Well, it's very, very interesting to read about this exhibition out of Nashville. John Baker, whom you know is the author of The Washingtons of Wessington, he's going to be the guest curator for the event, and he's reaching out to people. If you have ties to Tennessee, if you have ties particularly to Wessington Plantation, if you are a descendant of individuals who came off of Wessington Plantation, he is reaching out to you. As he said in a press release that came out, if you are a descendant and have any photos, any stories, or any kind of additional information, to contact him. Also, for those of you who are in the Nashville area, on Nashville Public Television, John Baker will be featured for an interview at Wessington regarding his book, regarding the work that went into certainly writing it. And of course, this is going to be a special event for Black History Month. So it's really kind of interesting to hear about that. But take a look, if you have ties to Nashville and have researched your history, possibly to Wessington, then you will certainly have an interest, even if you have no ties. What an interesting project. What an interesting series of activities that are underway. Really exciting to hear about, and exciting for me to just certainly share it with you. So just really good to learn of some of these things. Speaking of Tennessee, I'm sure many of you have already heard that the National Conference of the African American Historical and Genealogical Society is going to take place in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, guess what? The call for papers is out. The conference, of course, we know is going to take place as it always does every October. But the host city and the host chapter is out of Nashville, so you want to mark your calendars for the fall, October 10th through the 13th in 2013. But as I said, the host city and the host chapter is Nashville. The call for papers has been released. It was just released this week, and they're asking individuals to submit proposals to present. And suggestions are there on the website. I'm going to provide a link for you so you can take a look. But they're looking for suggestions on all kinds of topics. Certainly African-American history, using DNA, using technology, church or religious history in the African-American experience, research methodologies, local histories, Native American and African American experiences, and on and on and on. Certainly, time is going to go by quickly, as we see time does go by so fast. They're asking that submissions get sent no later than February the 20th. So you have about 6 weeks or so to submit your proposals. And they have a series of suggestions that they are making in terms of how they want the information to be presented. So I'm putting the link for you there. But the good news is that the call for papers is out. So it's really good. They have a timeline that's there. This week was the initial call for papers being issued. February the 20th is the deadline. They're going to notify the speakers by March the 1st. Syllabus materials by May the 1st. So they are just moving right along. And it's really good to see that that sort of information is out there at long last. Many of us have been waiting, especially those of us with ties to Tennessee and neighboring states, how exciting this is going to be. And I believe this will probably be the first AUX conference outside of Arkansas that, because Arkansas has hosted it twice, that will be in the South again. So it's really exciting to see that. So, you know, hey, writers, speakers, lecturers, teachers, genealogists, the time is now to certainly respond to that. By the way, as far as other events are concerned, I mentioned that I hope that you will meet me in St. Louis. If you are aware of the Midwest African American Genealogy Institute in St. Louis, Missouri, that will take place in July, well, take a look at the Maggie, the acronym for the Institute. Take a look at the Maggie website. It has been updated, and it's going to be updated again this weekend with additional information. The website is Maggie, M-A-A-G-I, dash, Saint L, or S-T-L, dot org. And take a look. The speakers have been announced, the faculty members, a fascinating group of speakers, literally from coast to coast. We have presidents of national societies that are speaking. There are going to be archivists who are presenting, preservationists, writers, bloggers, and so much more. Information is up on the website about housing, an opportunity to stay on the campus of Harris Stowe State University at Gillespie Hall or at the Pear Tree Inn in beautiful downtown St. Louis. Also, information I understand is going to be updated next week in terms of the registration process. If you're not aware of Maggie, if you're not aware of what's going to be unfolding, then take a look. This is the Midwestern African American Genealogy Institute in St. Louis. This is going to be an exciting year for research. Just an exciting year to learn. By the way, there is a symposium that is going to be unfolding in Georgia, in Morrow, Georgia, at the National Archives, the Southeastern Regional Branch of the National Archives. Now, what is going to take place is the Mancipation Symposium at the Regional Branch there. And The keynote speaker is Harry Jones, who is assistant director and curator of the African American Civil War Museum in Washington, D.C. If you have ever wanted to learn something about the Civil War, you do want to hear Harry Jones. Tremendous man, tremendous background and exposure, and it is something that I know that you will enjoy. Now, I mentioned emancipation. I would be remiss if I did not certainly point out what is making this particular year, 2013, so significant. Some of you are already aware anyway of the fact that 2013 marks the 150th, pardon me, anniversary of the issuance of the Emancipation Proclamation. There have been many things underway. I had a chance to attend a press conference not long ago before the document was released to the public. This past weekend, it was on display for 36 hours. Just something that's just really, really exciting to see. It was and is something that is ongoing. Whether or not your ancestors were impacted or not impacted, many were not impacted at all. Many had already freed themselves. But, you know, we need to stop and think. Certainly at one point in history, we were enslaved. And then suddenly, finally, at one point, another point in our history, our ancestors were not. And there has been no celebration, no event, no act truly honoring the dismantling of one of the most horrific institutions that was sanctioned by certainly the U.S. Constitution. The fact that it was dismantling gives us, it was dismantled rather, gives us all the more reason to honor the fact that, yes, finally the highest office in the land addressed it. Regardless of your feelings about the document, the piece of paper is not as important as the impact, whether symbolic or not, of the fact that something had dramatically changed. And this is all the more reason to pay attention to some of the many things that were going on. And I often just say, you know what? We should all take on the challenge of finding the freedom story, our own ancestors' freedom story. The celebrations around the issuing of the proclamation is a challenge to us to say, you know what? Or my descendants deserve to know how freedom came. We need to honor our ancestors fully. Many of our ancestors were impacted, many of them were not, but we also need to tell the story of how did it come. Now, some of those stories, we won't necessarily find the individual's narrative or anecdote that, oh, one day the Yankees came through, or one day old master called us up together and said, okay, you're as free as I am. We may not find that story. However, you can find that story in other ways. Start to study the histories of the communities where your ancestors lived. Trust me, sometimes by omission, they're telling the story anyway. If you read some books that come from the community, and many, of course, the slaves were in the background if they were there at all, but you can still tell something that has happened. When you read the letters of women who were married to Confederate soldiers and they're writing their loved one in the battlefield, and you see that little clause, oh, all the Negroes have left the plantation, it's just myself and my mother running things. Well, that's telling you something. Whoa, some people left a situation, voluntarily freed themselves. They probably became contrabands. They probably had certainly a difficult road ahead, but they had seized their own freedom. Sometimes we have to look and see what we can glean in terms of local history by certain remarks that might be seen as passing remarks, but those remarks say an awful lot about what was going on. We are obligated to tell the freedom story. What a great opportunity to do that. So certainly it's something that by all means should be mentioned. By the way, I wanted to mention that a new database has been shared with me. This is coming out of Virginia, and of course, many people believe that all roads lead to Virginia anyway. Well, it's been very interesting to me to take note of this new database coming out of Charles City, Virginia. It's a new resource which would interest a whole lot of researchers. Volunteers who've been working at the Charles City County Center for Local History have created several databases available, and they're just going to, you know, sort of share it with the entire genealogical community. Well, two databases really captured my attention. And it's been really kind of exciting to see that they really said, hey, you know what? We need to put this information out there and make it available. Well, two of the databases, and they've released, I guess it's six different databases. The 1870 census, there's a database there. There's a marriage database, a Revolutionary War roster, a World War I database. And the other two would certainly be of interest to African American researchers. One is the Free Negro Register, and the other is the Slave Ancestor File. The Free Negro Register, I'll talk about that first. Well, it's very interesting because actually the creating rosters or registers of free Negroes and mulattoes really began in Virginia as early as the 1790s. Around 1793, there was a law that was passed that actually required free people of color to register with the clerk of court in the county where they resided. They were also required to carry their free papers with them at all times. One of the things that, of course, we know that the term mulatto sometimes means a lot of things, and it sometimes had a number of meanings, but it's also important to understand that the term itself does not often mean that, oh, this word really means Indian. Sometimes it may have meant that, but it was not that across the board. We must be honest with ourselves and certainly understand that the term itself certainly had a variety of meanings. Nevertheless, this is still significant database. It's a small database, of course. None of them are really large with thousands and thousands of names. They have about 800 or so names in this particular database of free Negroes and mulattoes. The other database, which is just a wee bit smaller, is the Slave Ancestor File. And this is interesting. This is a database of about 700 or so records that are there, and certainly and many of these databases they are pointing out are still in process. There may be some additions, so one should check back frequently. But this is significant because this particular one on the slave inhabitants included surnames. And you know, there is that misconception that slaves didn't have surnames until after the war ended, and then they took the old master's surname, and that is not always the case. And what's fascinating is that you see individuals on the database with surnames, and worth taking a look, worth exploring. Really good to see that something like this is unfolding, and you know, hats off to the folks in Charles City for putting it together. Really excited to see about that. So I'm putting the link for you to explore on the podcast website. An event coming up in February in Spartanburg, South Carolina, there's going to be an African American family history workshop. We're talking February the 1st and the 2nd. And there are going to be a number of interesting workshops it's called a workshop, but interesting sessions as part of this event. Of course, any type of event such as this is always going to have a session for beginners, as it should have. Those who've been thinking about it and saying, gee, you know, maybe I would like to see if I could find anything on my family history. There are going to be beginner sessions that are part of this event. One of the sessions, which I think would be really fun to sit in on, creative ways to bring life to your family history. That's so important because, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in the documents and don't realize that everybody else isn't as excited to see that document to the untrained eye or to the unaccustomed eye. Looking sometimes at a list of names on a piece of paper written in sometimes script that is difficult to read and to decipher, it's not always something that's going to get individuals pleased. And how many people have seen family books that people have written and it's page and page and page after census record? Or in some cases, maybe they've transcribed them, and it's just still another variation of a long list of who begot whom. Well, hopefully a session like that will tell you, you know, there are other creative ways to make your family history come to life. And you want to be able to put that kind of meat on the bones and just say, hey, you know what? There are some rich stories. It's the rich stories you want to pass down. Yes, you want to put it in the right historical context, by all means. But you want to make it interesting. So we want to do this. They are going to have sessions. Again, I'm talking about the Family History Workshop, the African American Family History Workshop in Spartanburg. They're going to have some sessions on how to use the local resources, how to use land records, how to use tax records, as well as, of course, census records. And we know certainly many of us don't always get to the courthouses as much as we should get to the courthouse. So these are just some other kinds of fascinating things to look at. By the way, a moment of shameless self-promotion here. I mentioned the emancipation. If you have not had a chance, I hope you have a chance to just take a look at my own blog, My Ancestor's Name, which is the name of the blog, and I'll put the link for you. This past New Year's Eve, I uploaded 7 blog posts on one day, honoring my ancestors from 6 p.m. until midnight. This was my own personal watch night celebration, honoring my ancestors whose lives were impacted by slavery and by the end of slavery. And this was sort of my symbolic gesture to the sesquicentennial commemoration of the Emancipation Proclamation. Trust me, it took a lot of energy, and I don't think I'm going to do anything like that anytime soon. 7 blog posts in 7 hours. Yeah, 7 blog posts in 6 hours. But it was my way of certainly honoring my ancestors. I had a lot of fun. I heard from a lot of wonderful people as well. So take a look. I'm going to share it with you. I'm happy to do that. And I'm really honored to do that because these are my ancestors. And it's because of them that I am here. Well, now that the new year is here, you know, we look at all those promises that many of us make. To get in shape, to clean out old clutter, to get focused or to get refocused. And, you know, one of the things that I have noticed, especially even when I travel, when I go to conferences, so many of us, and well, in so many communities, whether it's genealogy community, whether it's a quilting group, or whether it's a scrapbooking group, and on and on and on and on, and whatever your history, I mean, whatever your passion is, whatever your interest is. So many of us sit and work at our craft. We sit at our computers. We spend hours and hours and looking and clicking and typing. And we don't get up, we don't exercise, and we don't always focus on other dimensions of our lives. Well, an interesting conversation about this kind of need to get in balance took place last night on Bernice Bennett's show. Bernice Bennett, as you know, hosts a blog talk radio program every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Well, her guest addressed this in particular. And this was Sharon Weinstein, who is well known for talking about the issue of putting balance or bringing balance into our lives and the need to, you know what, shut off the computer, get up, go move around. And so many of us need to do this. I am certainly at the front of that line as being one of those who need to put the balance in, to be able to turn it off, to get up, walk, you know, climb some stairs, work out, eat better food, all of the above. We all need to get involved in this. And these are things that she addressed in terms of how to do that, and not just the fact that we need to, but some suggestions on how to do that. It is important to, and I know I am certainly guilty of letting the passion that we have become our obsession, and sometimes at the expense of those other things, such as health, not getting enough sleep, not eating right, and on and on and on and on and on. We need to be able to enjoy the balance, enjoy the family. I think I saw something today. There was some experiment where some young women who were roommates, I think it was three or four of them who were roommates, had their devices, their electronic devices taken away for 10 days. Interesting exercise. I don't think I could live without my phone, my computer, without some access to Twitter or Facebook. On the other hand, I know I can certainly do without it for several hours. And it's probably time that we find that time to put that balance in our lives in other ways. Good show. Tune it in. I have a link for you. Again, as I said, Bernice's show, which is called Research at the National Archives and Beyond. Good time to address the need for all of us to put balance in. Turn off the computer, get up, move around, enjoy the children, enjoy the family, and it'll make us better at what we do when we get back to the computer to do some work. Good, good points. Well, is this your year? Is it time for you to take on that one project that you've been talking about? And you know, even though this is New Year's on the calendar, of course, really, New Year should technically be in the spring when things come back to life. But maybe during this time when everything is cold and frozen and dormant or in hibernation, this is a good time for us to maybe think about, time really to take that plunge and embark on something. As you know, I have a few blogs, and one of my blogs I have on the Civil War soldiers, the freedom fighters, the United States Colored Troops, and some of the other affiliated troops as well. That, you know, the first and second Kansas Colored, the Louisiana Native Guards, and some of the other units. So we're all involved in the quest for freedom. But my point actually is not about those blogs, but about an interesting exchange that I had online. I'd written an article about the U.S. Colored Troops, and a gentleman responded, "Oh, thanks for sharing the information, but don't forget that it wasn't just the soldiers in who were USCTs were from the South. Some of them were also from the North, and don't forget that." And he listed some of the surnames of his ancestors. This gentleman did, and which was great. I fully understood what he was talking about. In other words, he was saying, "Hey, my ancestors were part of this. I don't want to see them excluded." And my reply to him was that I fully understand where you're coming from, and this is a great opportunity for him to think about stepping out there. And the reason why I said that and why I replied the way I did is that how many times have many of us seen a story that captivated our attention, and our next experience or our next emotion was that, gee, I wish they had told the story about my folks. I wish that they had talked about my folks, because in this part of Tennessee or this part of South Carolina or this part of wherever, gee, my people were also involved and they did some really neat things too. And my reply to him was that, you know what, this is probably your opportunity to become the voice of your ancestors, to become the portal through which their story can be told. Therefore, that's what I meant when I asked, is this your year? Maybe it's time to write and to start to talk about that project in which you have been immersed, maybe yourself in terms of personal research, but you've been sort of sitting there waiting for somebody out there in the great abyss to descend and start to tell the story of the region where your ancestors are from, or talk about the USCTs where your ancestors lived. This gentleman, and he was very correct, there were black soldiers that came from Massachusetts, that came from Connecticut, that came from Illinois, that came from Missouri, that came from these border states that were not states that had seceded. And what a wonderful opportunity for him to tell this story. I shared with him a story, a person whom I consider a friend and a mentor, Dr. Agnes Kane Callum, in her 80s, wonderful lady who's written so much about African American history in the state of Maryland. She wrote one of the first books about the Maryland U.S. Colored Troops, about the 7th U.S. Colored Infantry. She's written several books on other units as well, but she wrote her first book on the 7th U.S. Colored Infantry. That was organized in Baltimore, and that of course subsequently went with and was part of the Army of the Potomac, went into Virginia and went further down the coast, and eventually I think they were mustered out in where Brazos, Santiago, Texas, or someplace. But she followed these soldiers, excuse me, and their history. And one of the stories that I remember that I've heard her tell, and then I remembered reading actually the interview that occurred in a newspaper. When the soldiers had left Maryland and went into Virginia, they were continually recruiting and recruiting additional soldiers. And a lady had heard her speak and mentioned that many soldiers who were originally from Norfolk, Virginia, had also enlisted when the Union soldiers came through and enlisted in the 7th U.S. Colored Infantry. And she said, yes, you're very correct. They certainly did. And the lady, who was very, very eager and very earnest in her question, asked, well, have you thought about writing anything about the soldiers from Norfolk? And basically her reply was, absolutely not. Let Norfolk do Norfolk. Well, when I read those words and heard those words, and I've told her this story many times, it clicked. It clicked with me. And the point that clicked was the fact that she was saying, tell your own story. If your ancestors came from Norfolk, then you, as a descendant of people from Norfolk, you've got to tell it. She told the story of the 7th Infantry as a unit that was organized in Maryland. Maryland is her home. All of her ancestors have history in Maryland. And that's the story that she's devoted herself to telling. As definitely the unit that she's been researching and subsequent books as well, they're from Maryland. Yes, she follows them in her narrative to the places where they served, where they fought, where they were involved in skirmishes and battles, but it was still a Maryland story that she was telling. Well, her point simply was to the lady who had asked, this is your story to tell. How many times do we look at something and then get annoyed that, they didn't tell our story? Wow, gee, they certainly left out my ancestors. Well, you know what? It's very important to also realize that individuals who write are no different from you, no different from me. They are regular people. With that being understood, then there is no reason that you can't write, that you can't tell that story. We're obligated to do this, and maybe this is the time to consider taking the plunge. Yeah, it takes a little guts. It takes a little guts to do it, to say, oh my gosh, I'm actually thinking about writing a book about this. But so what? There are tons of people who take the plunge and dare to write and dare to tell a story. Maybe this is your year. Maybe this is your time to take the plunge as well. And I encourage you to do that. Start out with a blog. The easiest thing you can do. Start out. If you're a person like me who's accumulated tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of paper, well, time to go through some of the tons of paper and say, do I have something to really talk about here? I just might. Like the gentleman was telling me, well, you know, hey, don't forget that some of the folks who came from these other states were also USCTs. And my reply was simply to him, you are so correct. And what a great opportunity for you to tell that story. I hope it's accepted with the right spirit in which it was intended, because my interest is to encourage him to write and to tell that story. And I suggest start a blog. You could have a blog up in 10 minutes, and it's where you want to go with it. It's where you want to take it. And as we do what we do, part of it is to share. You always hear me say, share what you find. Share what you find in a blog. Make it interesting. You want to find a good example of a person who's telling his story. Take a look at Melvin Collier's blog. Melvin Collier, an archivist who lives in the greater Atlanta area, has a wonderful blog. It is called Roots Revealed, and he talks about so many anecdotes about really his journey to document his family, and he tells you sometimes the unique stories. For example, we're all talking about the Emancipation Proclamation this week. Well, in one of his family lines, he knew particularly that his people didn't go anyplace, and he has his own freedom story, and it's called Freedom Story, They Stayed Put. In other words, his ancestors did not necessarily become contrabands. Maybe there were no soldiers who even came through, Union soldiers that even allowed large numbers of people to simply walk away. And he talks about that. He talks about what he found. He talks about the conclusions he was able to reach looking at the documents and what happened to them in those critical years right after the war had ended. Wonderful journey. Read his other posts. You'll see what a person has done to tell the family story and to share his journey as he documented it. Is this your year? Maybe it's time that you embark on that journey. You know what? I have found that sometimes many people not even related to me love my family stories better than the family members do. But you know what? That's still okay. It's okay that complete strangers love Uncle Cephas, one of my ancestors I talk about a lot. And now some of the relatives are actually perking up, looking, saying, this is kind of interesting. Tell me a little bit more. Anyway, that's the something I'm putting out there for you to think about. Is this your year? Maybe it's time for you to start writing and sharing what you have found. Anyway, I'm going to stop. I've gone over time. Wow, it goes by so quickly. That means the year is off to a running start. Lots of things to do, lots of things to put on your calendar. As I said, the call for papers for Augs. Check out the Maggie website, and I do hope you'll meet me in St. Louis. And have a great week of research, everyone. I, of course, want you to continue to do what you do, and I appreciate you for taking time out of your day to listen. But in the meantime, you know, keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.